Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, we here. Gary got his
Man,
Oregon show.
I called in. They won't let me.
Yeah.
No, what?
Yeah. We had the same thing. Yo, Talking Sports with 12 Men. We are officially here, January the 17th. We are, again, making strides. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to have some therapy. It's been a crazy NFL playoff. Got some college basketball to discuss. We got some coaching to discuss. Got some baseball to discuss. And, you know, that's how we plan to kick it off, as always. Without further ado, got to check in with the crew around the horn. JQ, you all right, my guy?
Listen, man, I was down in, and they had me on the wait music, and then it just kicked me off the line. That's why I said, hey, well, what happened? Like, I was running down there, but yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. My Bearcats beat TCU. I mean, you can't storm the court for being TCU. That's a little ridiculous, but, you know, it is what it is. Welcome to the Big 12. I'm good, man. My Lakers just beating up on Dallas. Fantastic, man.
Yeah. Helping my pals out, moving us up to 5 in the West for that win. So thank you with the Lakers beating the man.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Rob, asparagus for it. I'm gonna hold off for Gary because I'm sure Gary, he's ready to pop off. Rob, how are you feeling this evening, man?
Oh, man. Doing great. Another blessed day, you know. Feeling good. Got some asparagus and some cabbage and some good chicken wings tonight. And good dinner. Wifey came through.
I'm happy that she's okay. Gary, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Well, I'm off a suicide watch finally, so I'm happy about that, you know. But I'll tell you, was that Arnetta and I at the mall? Because that's what it looked like. I looked like Arnetta. As soon as I showed Arnetta that, she said, hey, that's us at the mall.
Trying to grab. Come here. Yeah, that's half every guy, man. So, again, good stuff. I didn't get a chance to show that to Marcia just yet. It's hilarious, man. But good stuff for sure. Why are we holding hands? So I'm holding hands because I love you.
Pulling away from the stores.
We are officially ready. And so sometimes I used to hate even going to malls. Like, I don't even want a window shop, man. I'm done with that, man. That was in my earlier years. But without further ado, let's get started. We have a ton of topics to get to.
Money Dre now.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to accept that. So for those that want to call into the show, same number as the fellas call, 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And go to facebook.com/talkingsports12men or 12men sports. You will find us in that arena as well. So we got a lot of things to discuss. And Rob thinks it's cute to have some college basketball in here. So we're going to quickly go over a couple things here. And we're going to get to the meat of the show. We are going to, again, make sure that Gary is not on suicide watch. Shout out to Scott Richmond. He is also on suicide watch because he's a huge Eagles fan. So, again, we'll talk to him. Hopefully he's feeling okay. And, you know, it's just been a very, very interesting weekend. And, JQ, I hope Mike's doing good, man. I remember Mike, our Packers fan, man. I don't know. He's probably over the
moon. He is.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, man. So
yeah, so
there's always one person happy, one person bad. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we went and played golf together on Sunday, right before the game started. We played, we got done. And he was like, man, I really just want them. I don't know if they're going to win. I just want us to get blown out. And I said, oh, I think it'll be a close game. And then the game got going, and he texted me. I was like, yeah, bro, I don't know what's happening right now, but you live your life. He's definitely up on that right now, so for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I saw him that day. I saw him play. We played golf right before the game started. So, yeah, he's feeling pretty good.
Gotcha. Like I said, there's always one person that's happy and there's one person that's sad. And we'll talk about that. We're going to keep an eye on Gary. America, call in to make sure that he's okay. But really quickly, let's get to these quick college basketball. Number 18, Creighton versus UConn. Rob, you can go ahead and tackle that real quick.
Yeah, UConn. I watched the first half of this game, and, man, UConn's defense was just outstanding, man. Held Creighton 21 points. They look like a team capable of repeating. I know it's going to be tough. But they got Donovan Klingon back, 7'2", sophomore center. He's going to be a top 15 pick in the draft. And they were just dominating the night. And it was a lot of garbage time in the second half, 62-48. But like I said, they got it done with the defensive end in the first half. This game was over at halftime. Holder held Creighton to 21 points. So they're back to number one in the country. Danny Hurley's got it going, and he's recruiting like crazy.
Yeah, whatever. I saw Cincinnati beat TCU at home and stormed the court, so let's go Cincinnati. That's all I got. I don't know. I didn't watch the entire game.
I love it. Like I said, I know Georgia State doesn't get a lot of love. I was happy they did a nice comeback, triple overtime against Clemson. Nathan George, the young freshman point guard from Canada. Shout out to Drake, man, playing astoundingly well, man. So this is, again, kind of a throwaway season for Damon Sotomayor, but I love what he's got right now, and, you know, we'll see what happens, too. I know they had a little upset at Duke earlier, then they went around they lost five straight.
Great win
for Georgia State. I know. It was good, man. Bios coming through, Bam. Oh, man, we got some good squads, man. So they're young, man. So, again, it was a great, great win last night, too, man. So all good. Let's talk about Zach Edey, man. Zach Edey, what do you have, 33 points? Something crazy. I'm looking at his stats. 33. I'm around. He had like 33 points. I guess obviously it's Indiana, man. So you know, see him come through. 33 points, 14 rebounds. This dude is like 21, even though he looks like he's 30 something. 7'4". This guy is just, I don't know if he's gonna be that successful in the NBA, man. But right now he's a big, big ass dude, man. So shout out to him. Talking trash to the. To the Indiana fans, man, just a dominant performance by Zach.
Yeah, and he got some good help from his three-point shooters on the perimeter, too. Fletcher Loyer, 19 points, hit four threes. Lance Jones, 17 points, hit threes. So, hey, but you got a guy that big. You know, it's a poor man's Hakeem Olajuwon just kicking it out the three-point shooters, man. And that's what you want to do.
There it is.
Kenny Smith, Vern Maxwell on the perimeter.
Vernon Maxwell.
You draw those double
right.
teams, and you kick it out to those guys and hit those three-pointers, and that's the kind of game Indiana's playing. Purdue. We'll have
don't
to see
you ever
you
in
do
your
it in
life.
Tournament.
Do that again.
There it is.
Don't you ever in your
know,
life.
Don't you put,
do it
don't
again.
Put Hakeem Olajuwon with 80. Yeah, that's not that.
I said,
thank
I said
you.
Poor man. Y'all hear me say poor man?
It's a homeless man.
Poor
man. Hakeem Olajuwon. Poor man.
Poor man. They're playing the same style is what I'm saying. You got a big man on a college level.
Homeless.
Now, you said it right. Zach Edey's game does not project well to the pro game. And, you know, a lot of pro scouts are worried about his foot and his health, things of that nature. So he's not projected to be a first-round pick at all. But the question with Purdue is, can they get it done in the tournament? Every year they have these high seeds and they get knocked out early in the tournament. So they got to prove us wrong. These quick, speedy teams are the teams that give them trouble. And that's, you know, they run into a team like that in the tournament and they get beat.
Quick shout out to my cousin Mike Woodson, man. I'm sorry, Mike, man. You were trying, man. You got to keep throwing bodies at that dude, man. That's when we got to stop that dude, man. So, but again, we'll talk about that a little later here.
I figured it might be tough for you to talk about that game with your cousin.
Yeah, it's rough, man. Tom Izzo, man, once he retires, will he go out like Dick Saban, Rob?
Well, you know, I heard Tom Izzo's interview saying he's not ready to retire, but he said when he does, he's going to go out like Nick Saban. But, I mean, come on. I mean, as much as I hate Alabama, man, Nick Saban's got to be one of the – he's definitely probably the greatest college football coach of all time. And, you know, he probably going to want to go down as one of the greatest college coaches, period, of all time. Maybe you put John Wooden in that category. But, you know, Izzo's a good coach, and I like him. I like his brand of basketball, the way he plays defense and – physicality and rebounding, but you know you can't put Tom Izzo in the same breath as Nick Saban. So, you know, but he, that was his words. But you know, Nick Saban, like I said, you know, 7 national titles. He did give us 1 at LSU before he went to Alabama. So I guess we're grateful for that. But definitely a legend that's left the college athletic world. And Chuck, 28 Alabama players in the college transfer portal now. Unbelievable. Ever since he's announced.
Yeah, crazy. Wow. Wow. Well, Izzo, that just tells you that he's going to be coaching for a long time. If he wants to go out, you know, in that company, he's got a long ways to go. So he's going to be coaching for another 10 years at least. And he's got to win a lot of chips to get there. So,
yeah.
Good enough. He's going to retire when he's 80, I guess. What's that?
Yeah. He's only got 1 national title and he's 68. I mean, I think it was when Team Cleves was back in 2000, I think he got that title.
Yeah.
Wow, now Team Cleves.
So 80 it is.
Good stuff.
They might not make the tournament this year.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, man. It's going to be interesting to say the least, man. I do want to get to Gary before he goes a little crazy here. We've got to keep him on Suicide Watch here, so I'm going to skip a couple topics here and get to Gary right now. So Gary, he's got his Oregon shirt on, so he's clearly moved on, man. We don't want you like Jim Irsay, man, in the pills or anything like that, being unresponsive, man. So how are you, man?
Come on, man!
Therapy.
You cannot. Dre.
What? That's too soon, huh?
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead, JQ, what do you got?
Did JQ get cut? Oh, what just happened? Did we lose JQ?
I guess so.
Oh, man, he was coming hot.
Well,
he was coming in hot. Go ahead.
Well, moving on with this, the Cowboys, you know, I would rather have, you know, with the way they went out, how they played, their defense, their offense, every phase of their game sucked. They were not ready to play. It starts with coaching, but it ends with the talent on the field. And I'd rather them just blow up the team and whoever doesn't want to play for them, I don't care if it's Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. I don't give a shit who it is. If they don't want to play there, they don't want to be there, let them go. Move on. Start off at 1-15. Bring in a coach that knows what the hell they're doing and build this team the right way, because right now they're a hot mess. You know, this year they had me believing that they could actually at least get to the NFC Championship and place them – but they were not ready. How can you as a player go in there? I played sports. I played football. I played baseball. How can you go in there and not be ready for a big game? You know, a big match. Absolutely you need to be there. Starts with the head coach, but it also ends with the heart of the team, and that heart of the team is weak. I've been disgusted with the Cowboys in the past, but this is – my discussion with this team is just at an all-time high with what they have. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is that they're going to keep Mike McCarthy. They'll probably lose Quinn, but I don't think it's a loss, because his defense, if they would have just kept the hammer down instead of going and just playing this soft defense and all this, and let Dak build his stats up, which is what happened by the end of the game. He built his stats up to a respectable level. But if they would have kept the hammer down on him, they would have beat him 60-7.
Wow.
I mean, and that's just a simple fact. And it's horrible that it was like that. I'm ashamed of the team. I'm ashamed how they were coached, how they played. And I think it'll be a huge mistake to not just start fresh, clear the coaching staff out, interview the players, look at who quit in that game, look at who really wanted that game. I'd go through every player individually, and I'd say, you know what, find a new home. Your ass is out. That's what they need to do.
But you saw they bring McCarthy back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Same thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is on the whole new mill tonight.
Mel, I'm back on suicide watch.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you were saying that, and I was like, bro, they said he's coming back next
that.
Year, so,
yeah.
Gosh, damn. How can they do that?
That's
you know,
a great
they've got fans that are just diehard fans that have been loyal to that franchise, you know, forever and a day, like a lot of teams do, but they've got a big fan base. And for them to just shit the bed like they did, you know, and the defensive line didn't show up. Micah Parsons didn't show up. You know, they put him, you know, people have talked about him in the same conversation as Lawrence Taylor. That's bullshit. He couldn't hold Lawrence Taylor's jockstrap. Lawrence Taylor made every team in the league, I don't care who it was, fear him. Game plan just for him, and he still came after him, and he still got to the quarterback. He still knocked down passes. He still made you hate life as a team. Micah Parsons is not that guy.
The problem also, Dan Quinn had a terrible game plan, but the Cowboys don't have a linebacker. They've got two safeties trying to play middle linebacker, and Aaron Jones just ran wild on that defense that Dan Quinn was playing. I don't know if Dan Quinn was ready to be gone. It was already interviewing for other head coaching jobs. But he was bad as a defensive. He was terrible. If you go back and look at that, he was playing three safeties high when they were down 20 points and you knew that Green Bay was going to run the ball. And they were still three safeties high. And they got a strong safety playing a linebacker. And they just ran the ball right down Dallas's throat. And I was sitting there like, what are you doing? How don't you have a little linebacker? Go get somebody from somebody's practice squad, somebody, a big body, a couple big bodies to play against that run. And they just ran the ball down their throat. And then when you can do that, you can play action pass and Jordan Love can go crazy. A lot of that, I understand Dak didn't have a great game. But a lot of that put on Dan Quinn. That defensive game plan was terrible.
Trash.
That was the worst.
Trash.
You know, and as I see it, there wasn't any team in the NFC or the AFC that wouldn't have come in there and mopped the Cowboys up with that game plan. I don't see one team.
Well,
probably even in the NFC or the AFC, the two or three teams out that didn't make the playoffs would have done the same thing because that game plan was absolutely horrible.
That's Dan Quinn for you. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, JQ made a good point there that Cowboys defense looked really small in that game, and they played that way a lot this season, and they've been hit or miss on some success, right?
Fast and physical.
And hey, at some point you got to tip your hat to what the Packers did too, and I totally understand what Gary is saying as well. Cowboys had a lot of mistakes in that game, but also the Packers came in there ready to play. They were well coached. Got to give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit. Jordan Love didn't turn the ball over in that game. He was very efficient, 158.3 QB passer rating. You got to give them a lot of credit, Matt LaFleur.
I give them a lot of credit.
Said all offseason, too, is that Matt LaFleur was quietly excited about working with Jordan Love and happy that Aaron Rodgers.
You did say that.
Right. And it's finally starting to show. Because I think he knew he had something, and he was tired of all that prima donna nonsense with Aaron Rodgers, right? And now, you know, all the focus is off of Aaron Rodgers, and all the focus is on the team. And, hey, listen, I'm not saying the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. I just thought he was excited about working with Jordan Love and getting the focus back to the team. And you're starting to see that coming to fruition with this Green Bay Packers team. And also Green Bay's defense. First 10, 11 games wasn't so good, but in the last 5, 6 games, they were actually pretty good. If you really look at how well they were playing, they got Jaire Alexander back. Their defense was playing phenomenal down the stretch, and it also showed in that game. So you got to tip your hat to them a little bit, too. And I'll tell you what, if it was up to the fans,
Dakota,
you would have 31 new coaches every year.
Who's the one safe coach? Mike Tomlin? Is that the one that's coach? Is that the one that's safe, man?
The Super Bowl winner. The fans in the Steelers won. The fans in Pittsburgh want to give it to him, too.
They did, even though he was
being
his coach.
We'll give them McCarthy, see how they like it.
My goodness gracious.
Stephen A. Smith said something that we don't really think about, but he said, hey, if we're gonna be fair and say that Mike McCarthy should be fired, then why not are we saying that about Mike Tomlin? Because Mike McCarthy's had more success the last 3 to 4 years than Mike Tomlin had with 3 12-win seasons, 2 division titles. And so I mean, sometimes you just got to say, hey, the NFL is a tough league, man. You know, every team's got professionals. And like I said, if it was up to the fans, you're going to have 31 new head coaches every year.
I love it. I love it. Hey, but
well, I don't know about
Gary
31, but probably 28. I would say 28.
Yeah, that's realistic. Mm-hmm. I can
see
things like
Gary. But you know what, Rob? I
got to
give you props on that because – you talked about this preseason, week 1, week 2, week 3, about love and about the Packers organization, how they feel about him. You talked about this early, and I scoffed at that because I didn't think he was going to be the guy. But he came in there, and, I mean, this last part of the season and in the playoffs, and I think you know, with that said, he's going against the number one team, maybe in the NFL in San Francisco on their home turf. But I think they're gonna play a good game. I don't think they're gonna win, but I don't think it's gonna be any blowout either.
Yeah, I think they can contend. I think they'll keep the game close to 3 quarters. I think the 49ers pull away a little bit in the end. They've been resting. And if the 49ers are healthy, they've shown that if they're healthy, they're gonna be tough to beat. Right? And, you know, I think the only team that really fully beat him healthy was the Ravens. And so, yeah, 49ers are healthy. If Trent Williams is healthy, then they're going to be tough to beat. So, I mean, I like the Niners. But what you saw with Jordan Love, he got better as the season went along this year. I mean, obviously he didn't start off that way this year. But you saw his progression, and he's constantly got better. And, hey, you know, last 5, 6 games of the season, I think he had one of the better QB ratings in the league. And so you saw a progression. By the way, Dennis Allen apologized to the Cowboys for the Saints blowing a 17-0 lead to the Packers. And Dallas wouldn't have to play Green Bay if we hadn't blown that lead.
San Francisco wins that game.
Apologies. He apologized to Dallas, too.
Yeah, he's stupid. San Francisco, I think, would blow Green Bay out if San Francisco had played in a game this weekend and came out of it healthy. I think the only reason why Green Bay stays in the game is because San Francisco's been resting, right? And it's tough to turn it on and off. But I think they have more talent, and I'm with you, Rob. Through a couple of quarters is close, and then San Francisco at home pulls away. But all things being considered, if San Francisco hadn't been, you know, kind of chilling past week and then trying to ramp it back up against the Green Bay team that just played a really good game and comes in hot, I think they blow Green Bay out. But Green Bay coming off that win, feeling good about themselves, they come in there and they're pesky. Right, against San Francisco, but I think San Francisco still wins, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Styles make fights because you've got Matt LaFleur, who was a Kyle Shanahan part of this coaching staff too. It's going to be interesting to see how they plays out. And Kyle Shanahan's still the teacher, you know, he's still the architect of that too. So you know, it's going to be a great game. But just to kind of get back to the Cowboys, Gary, sorry, that's what Dan Quinn does, man. Even in Atlanta, man, it's just. He had this belief of having kind of this fast and physical defense, and they were a little small sometimes, and the 3 high safeties, and a lot of times you're kind of in that shell. You're like, why are you doing this? He just shits the bed, man, against Kyle Shanahan teams. I mean, he's never beaten the 49ers. He's always got his ass handed to him. Teams that have that similar type of scheme, you would think he would kind of figure out a different game plan, but he just can't handle it, man. So, you know, again, he's going to leave with his tail behind his legs, man. He's probably, it's been fun, man. I'm out, man, because – It doesn't make any sense, man. How he cannot figure out how to stop that scheme, man. So You know, again, just something that we were kind of like, we were sitting back here just kind of like, yeah, that's what Dan Quinn does, man. It's just with the Cowboys. And now, granted, Dak chose the worst time to play his worst game, and him and CeeDee Lamb were just off the whole game. It just wasn't great. And then, obviously, like we talked about, the Packers just had the momentum, and they were just very, very focused, man. So, you know, it was just a kind of a recipe. Trey Jones
did
not get another coach like Jimmy Johnson again. That was funny. He has an ego, man.
Yeah.
That dude wants to be like, I'm the architect, not Jimmy Johnson. That's why, you know, they kind of kissed and made up at the Jimmy Johnson's Ring of Honor thing. But Jerry Jones has a big-ass ego, man. He wants to be the guy, man. So he's never going to get a coach that's bigger than him. So that's just my 5 cents on that and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, if you will, too. So good stuff. We got a lot of things to discuss here. Let's talk about, we're kind of in a situation where firing coaches and the Eagles here. We're going to get back to this too. But and this is the shout-out to my guy, Scott Richmond, a good client of ours that me and Rob knew. Huge Eagles fan. And it's interesting to see kind of the Eagles, they just kind of like the – just how they've dropped, man. We had them all season in kind of the top five, and they were just consistently up there. And the past couple of weeks, they just fell off a cliff, man. And we're going to talk about this. They've got a lot of free agents coming into the season. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Zach Cunningham, Shaq Leonard, Nicholas Morrow, Justin Evans. There, and then Jason Kelly announced his retirement. So, Eagles are taking some hits. And they should they fire Nick Sirianni? That's the question. We talked about the Bucks, and I know me and Rob are going to go back and we're like, damn, we could have done something if Eagles played that bad. I think Sirianni should take some heat, man, for this, man. So let's go around the horn and your thoughts about this, and should they fire him? Because that was just you talk about a team that was great going into the season. They just dropped off tremendously. That's a huge drop off. What say you, Rob?
Well, you know, it's always concerning to see a team drop off like that at the end of the season. It almost makes you think the team quit on them, right? There are a lot of dirty hands in the way that team finished the season, right? And we got to be honest. I mean, Jalen Hurts was a part of that, and you turned the ball over almost 20 times this season. And, obviously losing A.J. Brown and the injury, obviously, that hurt too.
Julio Jones was hurt.
You playing Julio Jones as a receiver in the playoff game. He's like 85 years old. Man. You know you're in trouble. You're going in there with Julio Jones as one of the top receivers. But overall, a lot of dirty hands. I mean, they traded for Kevin Bayard, and the Titans just hoodwinked them on that trade. Kevin Bayard was done when the Titans traded him. The Eagles thought they were getting the Pro Bowl safety, and he was done. His play for that team was horrible. Darius Slay and James Bradberry aged very quickly in that secondary this year. They acquired Bradley Roby. I was mad when the Saints let him go, but I see why they let him go, because he was horrible too.
Hey, that's the
Buckeye.
Don't do that. That's the
Buckeye.
Don't talk about Bradley Roby.
So, I mean, if you look at it, man, Darius Slay, I don't see a reason for them to bring him back. I don't see a reason for them to bring James Bradberry back. Bradley Roby back or Kevin Bayard back. They're all free agents. And if you're the Eagles, man, you let all four of them go.
They're all gone.
You're going to have to get them.
They're gone.
And, So out of all those free agents, you know, I will keep Fletcher Cox. I think he's still playing at a high level. Hassan Reddick, I think, still playing at a high level. Brandon Graham. Julio Jones need to be gone with the quickness. And DeAndre Swift, I will keep him. Marcus Mariota need to be gone with the quickness, too. They acquired him from the Colts, and he didn't do anything either. He needs to be gone. So, I mean, if you look at it, man, they got to revamp that defense, and they're going to have to get younger in that offensive line. They age rather quickly during this season. So a lot of dirty hands here. But to answer the question, I would not fire Sirianni. I would give him an opportunity. I think a lot of dirty hands here. I think the team aged right in front of our eyes. And Jalen Hurts' turnovers really cost him this too.
Bro, listen, I would agree and I would disagree with that. If you watch the game plan of what they've had the last come down the stretch, and especially in this game,
they act like they didn't know that Ty Bowles wanted to blitz them. The game plan on the offensive side of the ball, where they didn't do anything to come back to leave somebody else in, they always had another rusher that Philadelphia could block. And then they ran these all go routes. It was awful. It was an awful game plan. They didn't run the ball. When they saw the blitz, they were running goals. They were running that Madden offense where it's like 3rd and 23, just send everybody down the field. It's like, what are you doing, Philadelphia? You still got Goddard. You still got Devontae.
As soon as you come off the bus.
Listen, as soon as you get off the bus. But they ran that slant with Devontae except for he went for like 40 yards, and they never ran that play again. They get the same look. They never ran it again. I was looking at Philadelphia like, what are you doing? The game plan for Philadelphia on the offensive and defensive side of the ball was terrible. I disagree. I think you got to get rid of the coaches because Sirianni is letting the offensive coordinator do what he does. He's letting the defensive coordinator do what he does. He fired his defensive coordinator 11 games through the season. Sorry, demoted him. And Matt Patricia is trash. And he comes in there, he's running these all-out blitzes and trying to run the middle linebacker on the running back and leaving the wide receiver going one-on-one down the sideline. And he got hit on it multiple times in the game in the same formation. I put this one on the coaches. I understand what you're saying. It helps to have A.J. Brown in that game. But if you go and look at schematically what they did from the OC and the DC perspective, they gave that game away. And they didn't put their players in position to make better plays. You're talking about a defense that we all thought was going to be creme de la creme coming into there. Now we're talking about five dudes that we all think all age right before our eyes at the same time in the same season. Like, how often does that happen? Or how is that, hey, my defensive coordinator is calling some trash-ass plays, and he's not putting us in a position to play? The only person I will give you credit for is Bradbury. Bradbury needs to just put his shit in a duffel bag and just go home today. That level of tackling, I don't care what game plan we call, you got to be able to tackle better than that. But you got to put the dudes in a better position to play football. And they were terrible, offensive-wise and defensive-wise. It was really bad. So I was like, I'm not going to put it on all of that. But if you watch it, if you go back and look at Baldinger and Dan Orlovsky, go through the game tape of what they were doing through those blitzes and on the defensive side of the ball and putting nobody in the middle of the field. It was bad. It was bad game planning by them. It was really elementary. And they get paid too much money to go out there and put that kind of effort forth as a defensive and offensive staff. So I'm just going to say I will put it on the coaches. They sucked ass the other day. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Well,
and I would agree with that.
With what Rob, with what you said, what JQ said, you know, Nick Sirianni, I'm going to tie a bow around this in one sentence. If we're going to be stuck with Mike McCarthy, they should be stuck with Nick Sirianni for one more year, too.
No, I was going to say, I agree with the coaches was bad down the stretch of the season. The only reason I say they should keep Sirianni is that he did take the team to the Super Bowl last year. So you got to give him an opportunity to see if he can come back and fix
Rob,
some of
and that's what's even, Rob, that's what's even more concerning is he had a team that was just a few plays away from actually winning that Super Bowl last year to this team that it appeared – that, you know, on the offensive side, on the defensive side, on the coaching side, that they had nothing in the last third of the season. You know?
And that's how Sirianni. Last year, he didn't have to worry about it because he had a strong OC and a strong DC, and he lost both of them to head coaching jobs after that Super Bowl run. So now you're Sirianni. You understand you're promoting from within. On those offensive and defensive sides of the ball, you got to be more hands-on and say, hey, man, this ain't it. Do this. We did this last year. Why are you not doing that? He's still trying to be hands-off and trying to be the CEO, and the dudes they promoted sucks, but he's never adjusted to them not being able to adjust what other people were doing to them, and that's on him as the head coach. He's in charge of those guys. So when you have a strong OC and a DC, that's fine, well, and good to let them do what they want to do. But when you lose those guys and you got new dudes going into those positions, you have to be more hands-on, and that's on him as a head coach.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right,
we're going to talk about some interesting interviews here, and we're going to kick back. We're going to circle back around to JQ's favorite coach, Jim Harbaugh. And he actually interviewed with the Falcons. That was a surprise in the Chargers when we saw that.
I'm going to take all my Falcons gear, and I'm going to burn it if they hire Harbaugh. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to take it outside and make some s'mores.
Even have any,
and I'm
going to
invite some people
gear
over. I do have Falcons gear, goddammit. And if they hire Harbaugh, I'm going to burn all that shit.
Come
so
on,
you go ahead with it, and I'm that's my contribution to it.
I was shocked to see him in Falcons gear when I saw him move to the game with
him. Listen, I root for the Falcons. I lived here for 21 years. But if they hire Harbaugh, I'm done. I'm going to burn all that shit, and I hope they lose.
For real?
All the time. I'm
well, I can tell you this.
I'm going to giggle.
Well, I've been praying to sweet baby Jesus that the Falcons don't hire Jim Harbaugh because I think he's the best to be the coach out there.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Hey, pals, loving out some sweet baby Jesus.
So I don't. That's my reason for him. I don't want him to go to Atlanta. I think he's the best coach available. And Chuck said, you know, and I even tell the Saints fans, I said, look, man, if we had a shot to get Jim Harbaugh, we should be firing Dennis Allen today. But other than that, I would stick with Dennis. But no, I've been praying to sweet baby Jesus that he don't go to Atlanta. But if we're being honest here, out of the two teams, I mean, both teams got a lot, you know, when you look at the Falcons, they got a lot of weapons on offense. You know, they're in a good position to acquire a quarterback, whether it be through the draft here, from the eighth slot trading up or staying put, or acquiring a free agent or a trade, right? So, and then they have the weapons to go with it. And the Chargers already has a quarterback, Justin Herbert. I think the Chargers are a franchise that just needs some direction, right? And they got the number 5 pick in the draft. So, I mean, ultimately, you probably would see the Chargers maybe slightly above Atlanta right now just because they have Justin Herbert. And, you know, he spent a lot of time in California as a head coach of San Diego State, head coach of Stanford, head coach of the 49ers. But the Falcons might have a better ownership. What I think is going to come down to is what organization is going to give him a lot of power. And the Falcons structure probably won't allow him to have a lot of power. Or Rich McKay, and then you have Terry Fontenot, whereas the Chargers might be inclined to give him a lot of say in the organization. So, but, you know, for selfish reasons, I'm hoping that he doesn't go to Atlanta, but I also think the Chargers might be a better job immediately.
Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso says. The only
of course you would say that.
That I have is – no. The only reason why, because, you know, you look at it on paper. The only thing, again, you talk about the better quarterback, and the challenge is they do have not as much cap space, right? So they have some challenges with cap space. What's going to happen with Khalil Mack? What's going to happen with Joey Bosa? But like you said, obviously he is from the West Coast, so the fact that he even interviewed, I was kind of shocked that we heard nothing. We hear all about Bill Belichick, so whenever – Jim Harbaugh, I was like, wait, what? He actually interviewed? So that means he sort of was considering us, at least the opportunity to talk to us. So I thought it was very interesting. You know, who knows where it goes? Obviously, you talk about that Blank does want to win. So, again, we talk about the structure. If anything, to get rid of Rich McKay is a challenge. But, like I said, we do have, you know, we have some cap space. We have a good young team. We, you know, again, quarterback is a big thing. You know, so does he – again, go the Russell Wilson route, the Kirk Cousins route? Does he go with, you know, does he draft his guy, J.J. McCarthy, at 8? Does he trade up?
Justin
Fields trade possibly
out there. It's a model.
Yeah. And if you think about it, there's some stories that, if you think about it, that the Bears, I'm looking at the draft that they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, right? This is crazy. The same draft that had Patrick Mahomes. And that
was
their,
Pat Mahomes.
Mitchell Trubisky.
And Josh Allen?
Number 2. Yeah, so you look at that. But so think about this. There's some rumors that the Bears, they don't want to, you know, be in a situation, so they want to steer away from Caleb Williams, and they actually may like Drake May. Now, they could be putting that out there because they don't want to get the same style quarterback. So they may be like, hey, you know, let's get this guy so that way we're off the hook, right, even in the Caleb Williams situation and if they trade Justin Fields, because they think that Drake May kind of looks like that may be the guy. Because, again, if you get another Caleb Williams, you're looking at another Justin Williams, so they may not want to do that, you know. So that's kind of some interesting things I'm hearing. But who knows, man? It's a crapshoot from that situation. But there's a lot of interesting things that are going to happen this offseason, sure. So Again, that's funny that JC would burn all his gear, man. I think that's – I thought, you know, the Michigan stuff, man, that's just
– burn it.
Come on, man. That's
burn it. All of it. Burn all of that
but,
shit. Hey, listen, I said what I said.
I know what you said. No. I'm not – yeah, you don't – you said it with your chest, man. That's all good, man. I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, it's interesting because I didn't even think we were even in the situation because I can see the option for Bill Belichick. My guy is still Bobby Slowick. That's the guy who I want. I'm going to keep, you know, yelling it out because he's part of that Kyle Shanahan thing, but I just don't know if Blake wants to go with another unproven situation with that too, man. But, shit, we don't know, man. We have no clue what's going to happen. We're going to kind of
That performance that Slowick put on against Cleveland, against that defense, and what he's doing right now with TJ, I don't know. You see what D'Amico's done with Houston as well, so I don't know if you can totally rule that out. I don't know if I would want Bill Belichick for that. I know he's got the name. He's not somebody that maximizes offensive talent. He doesn't, to me, identify a good offensive coordinator that will bring it in so he can take over the defense. If you want Bill to come in here and take over your defense, yeah, the Atlanta defense will be stacked. But your offense will look the same way it looks right now, and nobody else wants to see that. So, I'm not mad at the Slowick thing. I just give you shit about it. But for Atlanta, I think they need somebody that's more younger and innovative that can grow with it. Like, you look at Matt LaFleur, he's a younger coach. He's got a younger quarterback. Yeah. He's got all younger wide receivers. His running backs are the oldest people on that offensive side of the ball from Green Bay. But you see him as a younger offensive kind of mind with a young quarterback with young wide receivers and see them involved. I think Atlanta needs something just like that. Go get your quarterback. Get you a young offensive-minded guy that can grow with all these guys you just drafted early in the draft on the offensive side of the ball and let them grow together. To me, that's the thing that Atlanta should do.
Yep, like I said, I don't hate that either.
Nobody's
like
near Bill Belichick anymore.
I mean, like,
I would be willing to take Bill Belichick, and I hate Bill Belichick.
Oh shit! What?
Oh, yeah, yo! If you, if that, listen,
I
well,
would
you know
be
what,
willing to.
Ha-
I would be willing to
McCarthy.
Even. Hey, I would be willing to even cheat and get one now.
Come on, Gary. But you know what?
You
ain't got to worry about
America?
That shit no more because you got Mike McCarthy again. So good luck.
Boy, he's off the suicide
Shut
watch.
Up.
He's back on.
Shut
I
up,
love
JP.
It. Yeah, the report came over literally about, like, what was it, like 9 something? Like, oh, man, I can't wait to talk about this tonight. Like, yeah, Cowboys are going to keep
I'm
like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You know, can I say something real quick? You noticed that I had the Oregon shirt on, right? First was my dad's, and I had kind of a rough day today because this is my dad's birthday. He'd have been 89 today. So we were kind of reminiscing pretty much all day long. But otherwise I would have been more on top of it. But, this was my dad's shirt, so I'm proud to wear it.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. We're going to talk about the 9 teams that or the teams. I think I talked about this last, but there are a lot of teams that that passed on Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the MVP. And I've pretty much named a couple of these squads. And again, a couple of them, you know, just circumstantial, right? We talked about the 49ers. They got lucky because they got Brock Purdy. So, you know, again, we're going to, you know, it is what it is. The New York Jets, they obviously thought they had something in Aaron Rodgers, so we can understand that. Again, there's some interesting ones here. The Lions, they had Jeff Goff. He still didn't know how he was going to perform. So, again, a situation where Jeff Goff played out of his ass, man, and that's just obviously shout-out to Ben Johnson, the coordinator. The ones that kind of hurt are the Falcons because, again, if we would have had Lamar Jackson, that would have been a whole other situation. I still think Arthur Smith would still have his job. There's no doubt if they trade for this guy, we would have won the NFC South. No offense, Rob. I just felt that confident in that dude's skill set, man. And then all this crap about they couldn't have him cap bullshit. If you would have made it, if you wanted him, you would have had it. This dude was a Michael Vick fan.
Yep.
That's a situation where the jersey would have fine. He would have had some excitement. It just, that was a colossal drop in the ball. The Panthers, obviously, you talked about they had, you know, they were in the mood to kind of move on. They were going to get Bryce Young. So that's, you know, the Commanders, you know, they thought they had something with Sam Howell. That proved to be another situation where bad. And
Bryce Young, Sam Howell.
They couldn't have thought Sam Howell would be better than Lamar Jackson.
100%. Yeah, the Bucks, you know, the Bucks, they thought they struck, you know, again, Baker's playing out of his mind, you know, but again, you know, a situation where they got lucky, you know, and that's just because how bad our division was. We'll see if they extend him. And, you know, your favorite team, Gary, the Patriots, say less. Them jokers would have loved to have Lamar Jackson in that situation, but maybe they were thinking what happened with Cam Newton. They thought they could make it work. And, you know, but hell, Mac Damn Jones, they had no offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels was gone. There's a whole situation with that, too. But that's those are the teams that actually have Lamar. So out of that, you can see there's a couple people, a couple teams that are probably like, damn, like in the words of Vester from Good Times. You know, so just a situation where, yeah, hindsight is definitely 2020.
But what it really comes down to is a lot of those teams knew Baltimore was going to match anything anybody offered to Lamar Jackson. And so
yep.
I think there were definitely a lot of teams that would have been interested, but I think they all knew no matter what, Baltimore was going to match. So I don't think it was a situation where teams missed out on them. I just think teams knew that it didn't make sense because Baltimore was prepared to match anything that they were prepared to offer.
Collusion.
And so,
collusion.
Yep. And so I think ultimately that's what it came down to. Baltimore was not going to let him, their franchise quarterback, leave that franchise. And ultimately the teams didn't want to tie up any cap space when an offer on the table for him were. So teams were like, hey, we're going to move on and let's see how else we can improve our football team as opposed to be tying up our time with Lamar Jackson knowing that Baltimore is going to match it. I mean, it's fun to talk about, but Baltimore was going to match whatever anybody offered him.
And that was probably well known at the owners' meetings, like, hey, you can do what you want to do, but not even outside of that, I don't think they were going to match it, and nobody wanted to go with the whole Deshaun Watson guaranteed contract, you know, kind of pass because everybody was like, what the fuck, Cleveland? So you have the owners sitting there talking to each other. They're like, hey, man, we understand. We get it. You know, we're not doing that because in order to coach him from you, we're going to have to do that Cleveland kind of thing, and nobody else wants to set that kind of precedent, right? So I agree with you, Rob. That was never happening. It's easy. It's good fodder for us to talk about on sports radio, but I don't think that was ever really a thing that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Anything, Gary, on that?
No, I agree with that.
Get to the NFL predictions here. So we talked about the first game, the Packers at the 49ers, and we talked about
the home
team. NFL confidence.
Sorry.
But, yeah. Pretty much. All the
I'm stupid.
Teams.
Don't pay me no mind. No, because
yeah,
I'm going to take care of the city of Buffalo.
We can start with that one for sure. You know,
I said
it. The Bills. Yep. So you're going with KC? JQ?
Mm-hmm. Reverse jinx. I want Buffalo to win. But I think KC win.
There's two games that I'm struggling with, and the Chiefs-Bills game is one of them here. And I've kind of gone back and forth here over the last 3 days and probably will go back and forth all the way to the time the game plays. But the Chiefs, I was actually impressed with the way they played offensively this past week. I mean, they still had some drops, but you finally saw a wide receiver stepped up, and that was Rashee Rice in this game.
Yep.
They ran the ball extremely well in that game in Kansas City. that being said, Patrick Mahomes has yet to have to go on the road in a big playoff game. Now, is he more than capable of going on the road and win? Absolutely. There's no question about it. But something just tells me the Bills, and I was not impressed with the way the Bills played in the second half against Pittsburgh in that game. But something just tells me I think the Bills are going to be ready to play. It's going to be like 16 degrees, not the Kansas City, not used to cold weather. I mean, that crowd is going to be electric. And I think Buffalo finds a way to win a close game in this one. I'm going to go 28-27, a one-point victory by Buffalo at home.
Buffalo is the AFC version, sorry, and I'm not trying to be funny, of the Cowboys. Like, we keep wanting to do and want Josh Allen to be this thing, and he is. He has all the talent. I think Dak Prescott has a ton of talent, but I think Buffalo, which to your point, Rob, I think they took Pittsburgh and said, okay, we got it. And sometimes it's hard to say that in your professionals, you get paid millions of dollars. But they looked across and said, this Pittsburgh team can't beat us. And they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But when they needed to put their foot back on the gas, they had that drive to go down and put the game away. I think Kansas City just kind of has their number. There's some teams that match up well with you,
And I feel like Kansas City now with that defense that's playing at that level with Janarius Seed and that back end, they're playing so much better. And I think they have a better chance to stop the run with Cook. I just feel like Kansas City has Buffalo's number. And Buffalo's had really also a ton of injuries also on the defensive side of the ball. I think Kansas City, with your point with Rice, has found Tim and said, hey, we tried to spread this ball around to find out who is the wide receiver that can give Travis Kelce some help. And they were trying to figure out who it was going to be. And I think they have finally settled on Rice and said, you know what, he's our guy. And he's starting to show up as that guy for them. So I think he's finally gotten Mahomes' confidence to say, hey, he can be my receiver. I can run with Pacheco. I still got Travis Kelce. And this is probably the best Kansas City defense we've seen in a, probably in their whole run here with, you know, Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. So I feel like Kansas City finds a way to win that game. You got to remember, the Bengals also win the Buffalo and won the game. Like, you can go to Buffalo and win if you have a superior team. And I just feel like Kansas City has that pedigree and they understand. And I don't trust Allen to not make a critical error with the ball and not and turn it over. He's the problem to me. Josh Allen, his turnovers, he's going to make one that's going to kill him, and Kansas City wins.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said.
No.
The one different thing I'll say about this Buffalo team is that they're running the ball. Ever since Joe Brady took over as calling the plays as the interim offensive coordinator, they've done a phenomenal job running the ball and leaning left on Josh Allen for running the ball, even though he had a huge touchdown run in this past week against Pittsburgh. But, yeah, the Chiefs secondary, I mean, they might have one of the better cornerback duos in the league, Legarius Sneed and
Chris
McDuffie. I mean, their two corners are probably right up there, one of the best tandems in the league right now. And then, of course, the way Chris Jones is playing on that line. So there's no question this Chiefs defense is extremely legit. And but I look for this to be a physical, competitive football game. But I think the difference with Buffalo finding a way to pull it out is they can finally run the football, which they haven't been able to do during Josh Allen the entire time there as a quarterback.
And I would, you know, God, I agree with both of you. That's it's frustrating here because this is one that I struggle with too. Kansas City's that team that they finally found another weapon. To go along with their fabulous tight end. Mahomes is that quarterback that's, you know, championship quarterback. The Bills, you're right, JQ. They're a lot like the Cowboys in the respect that, you know, they can play big in one game and play small sometimes when it counts. If this is their time at home, this week you can't give them an edge with any kind of weather-related issues because both teams can play in the weather. But with the Bills' running attack that is better than they've had in a long time, this may give them enough. I'm not saying they're going to win, but this may give them enough to win. I think it's going to be – it's too close for me to even call. So I'm not even going to say who's going to win this game because I can't. I think it's going to come down to just one or two plays.
Well, you got to make a prediction.
Whether it's getting a first down with the Bills or maybe it is Josh Allen pulling at Dak Prescott and throwing a pick when it counts.
Which
it
you
may be
well up. But my and I agree, it's really close. The only reason why I give – the biggest reason why I give Kansas City the advantage is – to what you just said, Rob, is that secondary. If you can say, hey, my cornerbacks, and we don't know if Gabe Davis is even going to be able to play, right? So if I know that I can put Snead on one side and McDuffie on the other side to kind of not neutralize Diggs, but to keep him in check to where I can commit another runner to the run defense to say, hey, I can match up in the back end and I can commit another player in the box to stop that Buffalo run defense, then what does Buffalo have to beat me when I know my secondary can hold up? That's the reason why I take Kansas City, because of that secondary and their ability to chip on Diggs.
Good stuff. Let's go to the next game.
That's
going to
be an interesting game to watch, that's for sure.
Interesting game. I like the Chiefs in this as well. So we'll talk about really feisty team, the Texans at the Ravens, and the Texans got rid of 85-year-old Joe Flacco. But, again, credit to the way that Cedar Shot played. We thought that they were going to come in and they were going to play well and then kind of fade, but they proved us extremely wrong. Really, really creative, innovative play calling by, you know, Bobby Slowick. But they are going to face a huge test in the Ravens, and I've said that the Ravens should be the representative for the AFC in this, and I think it stops here. You know, obviously, they're gonna make a good game. The Ravens should pull this out, if you will.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I'm so rooting for C.J. Stroud, but I think with the Ravens defense and Kyle Hamilton getting another week off to get that knee rested, another week to get Mark Andrews back into the fold. He's now a full participant in practice, so it's another weapon for Lamar, his favorite weapon, that now Houston has to deal with. And I know they didn't do a great job against the tight ends for Cleveland. The Cleveland tight ends had a big day in that game. It was just that Flacco just threw those two pick-sixes back-to-back and it kind of put the game out of reach. But I just don't see Lamar making those kind of mistakes. As much as I would love for Houston to win, I'm rooting for them to win, I'm going to go with Baltimore. I think that Baltimore defense is shown to be a class above, and they've got a week to get healthy. I think Lamar's heard all the noise about his playoff record, and he's like, okay, now I got Zay Flowers, I got Mark Andrews back, I got a really good defense. If not, now win for Baltimore. So I think Baltimore wins this game.
I agree. I like Baltimore in this one. I think we're looking at a 27-14 win for Baltimore. I think Lamar Jackson goes into this game a lot more relaxed than what he's had in previous playoff games. Is he going to run a little bit? Yes, but I think he's going to be a little bit more smarter in his game planning and how he's managing the game. I just think his experience is going to pay off in this game. But, I mean, kudos to Houston for having a phenomenal season and what they've done. D'Amico Ryans and T.J. Stroud for sure. But I just think the Ravens are going to be a little too much in this game.
Well, I think the Ravens are going to bully them on, you know, with their defense. They're a mean bunch of guys anyway. I think that Lamar is just going to take control of this game and put whoever wins the Buffalo KC game on notice and say, hey, we're the Ravens, and we anticipate we're going to represent the AFC. I think the Ravens by at least a touchdown minimum. I mean, 10 points minimum.
It's going to be a good game for a little while. We got a really brief OT, then we'll get to these last couple of topics, and we'll wrap this up. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that music. That is the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear from y'all on the East Coast, from Miami all the way up to Syracuse. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Buffalo, man, y'all can't hide from the snow, man. It's just nonstop. We want to hear from y'all in Buffalo next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to hear from y'all about the Bills, win or lose, on next Wednesday night. Central Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all from New Orleans to Chicago. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time Zone. We want to hear from some Bears fans. What to do? Keep Justin Fields or draft Caleb Williams? Mountain Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all. JQ's favorite city, Albuquerque, up to Wyoming. It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then on the West Coast, we want to hear from y'all. 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from San Diego to Seattle. Seattle, who y'all looking at as a new head coach for the Seahawks? Is it going to be Dan Quinn? We want to hear from y'all on next week. Good night, people, and stay tuned. Those of y'all interested in the OT portion, we got more football to talk about. So click on the same link on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Let's go, C.J. Stroud. I can't stand the Baltimore Ravens. I hope they win that game. I know what I just said, but I am rooting for C.J. Stroud. Get rid of all the AFC North. All those bitches sitting next to us at the house watching the game. Let's go.
And America, JQ didn't really like C.J. Stroud. He was at Ohio State, so it's hilarious to see him turn around right about now.
Sure did.
So
man,
that's hilarious.
Forgetting about that, man, how you wanted him benched and everything.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
You wanted them to hit the transfer portal before there was a transfer portal.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Hey, man, don't y'all spread that. Don't y'all spread that misinformation. I've been on CJ for a little bit now. I'm rooting for CJ to beat the brakes off the Ravens. I'm hoping for it, wishing, praying, hoping. I don't want the Ravens to win a goddamn thing.
He literally just skipped what we just said about that, but that's okay. Let's talk
you
about
find, go back and find the, that show, Dre.
Yeah, man,
no,
I'm
you can't find
man.
That damn show. I deleted it. It ain't no show.
No, you did not. You got it somewhere. Let's talk about these predictions and these last couple topics here. And Buss at the Lions. And I got to say, the Lions and Rams, that was probably one of the better games over this past weekend. I was going hard for the Rams.
You was the best.
And I was just like, I was just so impressed with how, I mean, that was a back and forth game. Tucking Tua was playing his ass off, making some crazy catches. I mean, you talk about just, I mean, Matthew Stafford was still
that dude
dying.
Was a gamer.
I mean, it was just incredible seeing him play. And I wanted him to kind of, you know, basically F you Detroit, man, because of what they did. But, you know, Jared Goff played well too, man. So it was just a really great game. It was just a situation where the Lions made enough plays and just held them off, man. So going into this game, the Bucs are probably going to get their ass whipped by the Lions because the Lions are playing well. I don't know what the hell. The Bucs got the lucky draw getting the Eagles. I'm not saying the Bucs didn't play well. I'm not saying that at all. You know, they won the division, all the folks too, but it does come to an end with this game. I'm going to say the Lions 35-24 in this instance. That's what I've got for that one.
Well, this is my upset special of the weekend.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
And I feel the same way that JQ feels about the Ravens. I feel the same way about the Buccaneers. But, man, if you watch these Buccaneers the last 7 weeks of the season, they've won 6 out of 7. They've been playing outstanding football. Tyre Bowles has got that defense playing outstanding. And offensively, they've got the weapons on the perimeter. They still need to run the ball a little bit better for Rashawn White. They got a good offensive line. They're protecting. And so that's going to be, a big battle in the trenches. And I haven't been overly impressed with Detroit's defense. And I'm a little worried about that going into this playoff game here. I got Tampa Bay going on a road and upsetting Detroit in this playoff game. I'm going to go 23-20, 3-point upset win. Like I said, if you really do a deep dive, Tampa Bay has been playing as good as any team in the league. Here in these last 7 weeks of the season, only lost to the Saints in Tampa. But if you really do a deep dive, I mean, they've been playing outstanding, and they haven't been playing any other than playing the Carolina Panthers. But other than that, they haven't been playing like any cakewalks. Well, I guess you can include the Eagles in that too. But they destroyed the
Come on,
Eagles. They were supposed to do with a team like that, right? I like the way they're playing. I think Tom Ball is doing a phenomenal job. I hate to say it with that team. But if you look at it, the team's got talent. I mean, they got Devin White on the defensive side of the ball, David. They got Carlton Davis,
Winfield.
Corner position. They got the defensive line. They got Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line. They got really good. And then you look at their receivers, too. If Baker Mayfield can turn the ball over, I think they're going there and beat Detroit.
Bingo!
And I hate to say that because, I mean, well, I don't want Detroit to win shit because Michigan, I don't need Michigan and the damn Lions to go get anything in the same year. But outside of what you just said, the worry I have for Detroit is you finally got a home playoff game in 31 years, and you win that game against Matthew Stafford coming in, and all the emotion of building up to that game and finally winning that game, and then you get another home game the next week, and you get your emotions back up to play Tampa in the subsequent week when it felt like that was almost their Super Bowl last week, right? We finally got us a home game. We finally made it to the playoffs. We finally got a playoff win. And you follow that up with another quality playoff performance for a team that's not used to being there. And I'm looking at Tampa still playing with house money. Like you said, you forgot about Antoine Winfield playing the safety for everybody else that you named.
I don't know
for a team that is not used to being in that position and having the emotions they had last week and getting that win, can you do it again? So I'm with you. I'm going to pick the upset and go with Tampa to beat Detroit next week.
Wow. Wow. I think it is going to be a good game. But I am going with the Lions. I'm going with the Lions at home. You know, they did have a big win last week. They got a playoff game at home. They beat a Rams team that was ready to play, and that was a very good game.
Yeah.
And so, and I was finally really, you know, impressed with Goff and how he performed under the pressure. And I think he's going to perform under the pressure better than Baker Mayfield will. And I'm going with the Lions, 27-23 Lions at home.
And you know what, and I can see that. And I wouldn't be surprised. I would have my mea culpa next week if that happens. It's just that, you know, it's the same way I kind of felt when I was watching the Bengals, not having been there, can you keep doing it? And the Bengals streak was bad, but the Lions streak was awful. You talk about like 1992, 93. Like, oh, you got everybody in the house, Megatron, Eminem, you know, Barry Sanders. Like, it's wild what they did for that game. And I get why they did it, but you build all that up and then you win it. And then you say, yo, guess what, folks? Let's go do it again. And this is the team that's not used to doing it again. And that was my only reason for picking Tampa, because that's a lot to ask for a team that's never been there before and had all the bad luck Detroit has had to say, hey, do it again. They have a great role, right? You know, the Rams play good ball, but of everybody else, you get to play the Rams and you get to play the Buccaneers instead of playing the Cowboys, the Packers, or San Francisco. So they got the best road, I think, to get to the Super Bowl, or at least the NFC Championship game, but I just worry about their ability to get up again after such an emotional week.
Yeah, and to their credit, didn't think they would beat the Rams. You guys know I picked the Rams on the show last week. To their credit, I didn't think they would beat the Rams. Just thought the Rams were playing outstanding. Yeah, so I know there's a few of us on the show. Even Nas, I think, too, if I'm not mistaken.
And I would have picked the Rams.
Yeah, so, I mean, to their credit, they won that game at home, and I thought the Rams were going to go up there and beat them, to be honest.
Again, doesn't really matter. Whoever wins this game is going to get their ass kicked by the 49ers, bottom line. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm already picking the 49ers, obviously, to what the Packers,
man.
And, you know that's what I'm
thinking.
And then we're going to come back to that.
Anybody with the 49ers, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, I want to bullshit that Super Bowl with two teams that's desperate to be there. I'll be invested.
You want the Chiefs Super Bowl? JQ?
Hell no. I want Houston or Buffalo, and I want I wouldn't mind Green Bay being in there. I wouldn't.
Okay. We'll see. This is interesting. This is interesting. Hey, I'm just gonna say the Super Bowl wants the NFL wants Taylor Swift, man, so we'll see if that actually happens, man. So part of the conversation about that a little later here. But
anybody but Kansas City. Anybody but Kansas City. I'm like Jamar Chase.
Anybody but San Francisco. I want San Francisco to lose. That's all I care about now.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. You're picking the Packers, Gary?
No.
Well,
I'm
not picking the Packers.
But I'm
rooting for them. I'll be having all my mojo for them to beat them. I'll have my fingers crossed and I'll wear a Packers jersey.
I'll have
to go buy one.
Listen, I'm going to wear all my FAMU shit because that's all the green I got. So I'm just going to roll my jacket.
Okay, I'm too tight. I'm not going to buy a Packers jersey for one game. But I will wear my Oregon yellow and green.
There you go. There you go. Yes, it is.
Close enough. Yeah.
Come on, Green Bay.
That's hilarious. Rob, you picking the Packers, Rob?
No, I'll pick the 49ers, but I'm pulling for the Packers.
All right.
I agree on that. Go Pack, go.
Oh, gosh. That's hilarious.
You on the island by yourself, Drake. This week, Drake. We're all rooting for the Packers. We picked San Francisco,
right.
But we're rooting for Green Bay.
Andre's married into it, so he don't have a choice.
Well,
all your mojo ready for the game. Okay, it's going to take all of it.
That's just an out for him. So he has to root for the Hawks and the Falcons, he gets the Warriors to San Francisco. That's just an out. So he's not mad at it. So don't let him sit back and think like,
I'm
very
man.
Into it, so I got to do this. Yeah, I know you're not
like
mad at it.
Dude even got an open A's hat. I mean, they going to Las Vegas anyway.
I told you, man. That's just,
I was a huge fan of Dave Stewart. I was a huge fan, man. Back in the day, Dennis Eckersley, man. I mean, that was the
uh-huh.
squad, man.
They got swept by the Reds.
Love that.
They got swept by the Reds. Sorry.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you what happened.
I was a
you know,
huge
just,
King
you know,
fan too.
Statistical fact.
Yeah, it is fact. I'm just saying, I love the NBA, man. So good. I was a fan of King Griffey Jr.,
man.
Man, you know, that was my guy, man. Turning on under the four
Ricky
grand
Henderson.
Slam.
They got the bash was the guy bashed. So keep going.
I'm just saying, y'all be talking a lot of shit about me. I'm just saying, you know, were they? I just like certain squads, man. It's all good. At least
we
I'm
just,
pretty loyal, damn it.
We're just doing some mess with you. You are so easy.
And so let's talk about Tua here. So we're gonna switch this up, and you know, yes. I told you I love Kyle Shanahan, man. You know, it's all good, man. So I listen to the office, man. It's a thing of beauty, man. So, you know, pick the wrong damn coach, man. This is on the conversation. All right, so really quickly, I'm going to talk about Tua here. Tua, they found out that the Dolphins picked up his option, right? This is, you know, so they have him at least two more years. They picked up his fifth-year option, $23.2 million. Is what it looks like, and I think this is the Dolphins saying you got 2 years to it to prove where you are. They're probably going to get some competition for him, but they got 2 years with him, man, to figure out, hey, what's going to happen? If not, moving on, man. So that's just kind of an interesting story, too. You know, so obviously he didn't play that well. He kind of came under pressure. So, you know, he got a strong-ass run game, and defense obviously had some injuries in the defense, but losing – Chubb was a huge hit. Obviously, you know, Ramsey tried his best. But this is a situation that's happening, and there was a little blurb that the Dolphins were exploring signing Kirk Cousins. I thought that was pretty interesting as well. So, again, just a slight little blurb. But, again, 2 years, my guy. He's, you know, what happens, man? I don't know if you guys are watching Hard Knocks, too, man. That's pretty interesting as well, too. So that's my 2 cents on that. What else we talk about?
Well, what do you think you're going to get with Kirk Cousins? You think you're going to get any more out of Kirk Cousins?
No,
I don't.
I just said there was a blurb that said they were looking at that, you know. So, again, it's I'm just saying, you know, he's coming off the ACL, but that's just the blurb that I read. I was like, hey, they're they explored it to signing. I'm like, what? You know, that was kind of an interesting little blurb, you know, because – that just shows
and then
you
they probably watched some
Twitter.
Highlights.
They're like, "Oh my god!"
Listen,
so,
I've got to drop after this because I got some shit I got to do in the morning. I'm gonna tell you this about Tua. I just don't think he's that dude. He's too small. He's injury prone. I just don't think he has to have everything be perfect around him. Offensive and defensive wise, in order for them to succeed. And you can mad at Cam Newton, but he's not wrong. He's a manager and not a changer. I just don't think Tua is that dude in terms of when things are going back and he elevates your team and make you get to another level for that week or 2 weeks when things happen. I don't think Tua is that dude to do that, but I think they're tied to him at this point because you chose him over Justin Herbert. And as long as Justin Herbert is still getting the money he's getting and Miami's making the playoffs, I think Miami's kind of tied to him, but I'm just not a believer in Tua like that. I think he has to have everything be perfect. And if everything is perfect, I'm going to give him a chance. But if everything is not perfect, I don't believe in Tua to be able to elevate them and take them on a run just on the strength of him being Tua. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what you do because there's not a whole lot of really great quarterbacks available. Him and Kirk Cousins is a watch. Kirk Cousins doesn't elevate anybody either. Miami's in a tough spot. Miami's in a tough spot of Miami's own choosing because they chose Tua. So, good luck, Miami. You chose him. You made that bed. Now you got to lie in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good assessment there. And here's my take on it. I don't think Miami's in a situation where they can get anybody better than Tua right now. And so right now they have to stick with Tua, right? I mean, they're not in a situation where they can draft Caleb Williams, number one, or trade up to get a Caleb Williams. Or does it make sense for them to go out and get a trade for Justin Fields or anything like that, right? Or for them to get into Drake May or Jaden Daniels conversation. Based on where they are in the draft and based on who's available in free agency or via trade, their best scenario right now is Tua. So they have to stick with Tua and they have to see how he performs. And they have to see where they are in the next year or the following year and to see if they're in the position to give an upgrade. But right now, they're not in the position where they can upgrade at that quarterback right now. So right now, Tua is their best option for them to succeed, and they have to figure out a way to continue to coach him up and elevate his game or put him in the right situations to where he can succeed, right? So right now, I think the fair answer is they're just not in the position to upgrade from Tua.
Yep.
Gary, get the last one.
A lot of teams are stuck like that.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I think JQ fell off. So get the last word, Gary, and we'll wrap this thing up, my guy. Pick your topic and call it a day.
Pick my topic, huh? Well, I'm going to give you my top. I'm going to give you my top five right now.
Sure.
Top five NFL. My top five NFL in the fifth spot, I have Green Bay.
Wow.
In my fourth spot, I have Kansas City. In my third spot, I have the Bills. In my second spot, I have the 49ers. And I have the Ravens in the number one spot right now.
So you got Ravens, 49ers, Bills. Who's the fourth squad?
The fourth is KC, then Green Bay. And that was back and forth.
I had the same as somebody in the Lions number five, but I can see Packers in it too, man. So, yeah, good stuff. Okay.
Yep, very similar. For me, I had the Ravens 1, 49ers 2, the Bills 3, the Chiefs 4, and I know they're playing
against each other,
but I have them number 4. And number 5, I have the Buccaneers.
Cool.
Yep. Very close. Top 3 all the same.
Last topic,
Rev. Let's see. Last topic for me. Let's see. I'll go over real quick the NFL latest mock draft here. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But in this particular mock, I got Chicago actually taking Caleb Williams, so which means they would have to trade Justin Fields if this holds true. I got Washington taking Drake May from North Carolina. I got New England taking Marvin Harrison Jr. But I got New England in the latter part of the draft trading up and back into the first round and taking Bo Nix at 25. So if this mock draft was to hold, they would leave with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Bo Nix in the first round. And then you come
That'd
back to Giants. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be
to
good.
Get the
That'd
best
good.
Wide receiver and to get a starting quarterback in the draft, too, would be big. I got the Giants trading up to 4 to get Jaden Daniels. Even though they just gave Daniel Jones an extension, they can get out of that contract without a huge hit after next season. We got Brock Bowers going to the L.A. Chargers. Had Arizona trading down to get Malik Nabers, who was statistically was probably the best wide receiver in the country out of LSU. And Tennessee got Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. In Atlanta, I got him taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. This will give Atlanta another weapon. And,
can't do it, man.
And in this case, Atlanta will have to make a trade for a quarterback or sign someone in free agency. I'll skip around a little bit. I got the Saints. I got a lot of heat from Saints fans on this one. I have the Saints taking J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan, at 14. And the Cowboys taking Leonard Taylor, the third big defensive tackle from Miami, Florida, the Hurricanes, to get some more size on the defensive line there. And just to give you all a little snippet of the second round, I got Atlanta. Even though they got a really good offensive line, I got them taking Cooper Beebe, who can play center guard or right tackle. He's about 6'4", 335 pounds, really good in the run game. great size, good athlete. I got the Saints taking Jatavion Sanders, tight end from Texas, who might be the second best tight end in the draft, and got the Cowboys taking Kyren Omegaji, offensive tackle from Yale. Yes, Yale, Ivy League. He's got tremendous
what?
Length, 6'5", 315 pounds. Maybe he needs to get a little bit stronger, but he's really good in a run and pass team. He looks like an NFL player playing against the Ivy League teams, but he's going to have to prove it against the pro. If he wasn't at Yale, he might be a first-round talent because he's that good of a that good of an athlete. But Saints fans give me a hard time for mocking the Saints with J.J. McCarthy. Hey, we look at Green Bay here, and the success that they have as an organization is that they draft quarterbacks when they already have a quarterback, right? And you know, when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, even the Packers fans hated the draft pick, right? I don't know if you guys remember that. And everybody thought they needed to give Aaron Rodgers more help. And now everybody loves the pick. You know, Green Bay looks like a genius, right? They drafted Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre. They drafted Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers. So with this case, you get a quarterback that you can work with and develop, and maybe in a couple of years could be your starter. And then Jatavion Sanders, Juwan Johnson came on late in the season. He was hurt, and you saw the Saints offense got better the season went along. But Taysom Hill, how long are we expecting him to do what he's doing? You get a Jatavion Sanders to come in there. Jimmy Graham is 56 years old. He needs to retire. And so you need another tight end on this team. Plus, Andre already cursed him
good
out.
Job. That's right. Him and Jameis. They can go suck it. That's all I care. Do not dunk over the goalpost. Well, he pretty much dunked over the goalpost. You know, so another conversation. And Jimmy Graham is old as dirt, man. I do need to, same thing as Michael Thomas, man. So it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun Kizer. Deshaun, all right. Well, like I said, good stuff. Appreciate you guys. And Gil Brandt was a fan of drafting quarterbacks, too, believe it or not. So just, same thing. He's like, certain teams just were really great at drafting quarterbacks because you never know. That's like trade commodities, too. So good stuff. All right, my guys. Good fun. Hope you guys have a great, great week.
Good
we're going to watch
guys.
Some great games this weekend and definitely get some rest, and we'll see you guys same time, same channel next week for sure.
All right. Good night, John.
Good night, people.
Peace out, gentlemen.
Good night, people.